Hello everyone, and welcome to another Recap Race Analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra Channel, or if you're listening on the Cycling Dane podcast. And the Giro is boring, said Hoof, apparently. Definitely not this year. As always, I'm joined by Patrick Blake of Audio Cycling and one-third of the Echelon Cycling podcast. And Patrick, what exactly happened on this enthralling stage?
Absolutely loads happened on this stage. We started off with a very small breakaway of only four riders, which only got a minute 30 gap on the peloton. And it seemed like a little bit of kind of breakaway kind of chess, like they were trying to, I don't know, be a little bit tactical. But eventually all those riders got brought back because it was opposite to Koenig, who really took this race by the scruff of the neck on the category three climb, the Paso del Braco. Yeah, they set a big pace on there because it's like 15Ks at 4%, slight downhill bit in the middle of there. And they were, you know, gapping riders. There was Malia was dropped, Jakobsen was dropped, Caleb Ewan was dropped, Gaviria was dropped. They all eventually came back on the descent, though. There was a multitude of crashes as well today. I remember Christophe Laporte was one of those involved, but he was fine. There was another one around some traffic islands where Lenardi went down, Mike Woods went down, Risberg, Malesi, Valta, all of those are back on the bikes and seemingly fine, so that's good news. But the most important thing is that going into the kind of intermediate sprint, we saw a breakaway going, including Malgrin, Enzo Pellini of Groupama FDJ, Benjamin Thomas of Cofidis, and also Andrea Pietrobon of Team Polti Cometa. And it seemed just like another kind of breakaway where it was like, oh, you know, they're just kind of out there to kind of fill the screen time and, you know, it's all going to come back for a sprint because there's like a Category 4 climb later on. And we're getting to the bottom of this Category 4 climb. It's still got about a minute and we're like, well, they're just going to, back gap's going to go on the climb, surely. We see Lidl Trek on the front with Bagioli. And, you know, it comes back down to 50 seconds or so, but we go over the top, and then the real kind of game of chicken starts going, where Lidl Trek are on the front just working with Alpecin, but then Alpecin pull off because Quentin Hill has run out of gas, and Lidl Trek are becoming increasingly annoyed at Sudal Quickstep, who are essentially just sitting on their flank but not contributing to the front. And eventually the kilometers are ticking down, and it's the age old rule of, you know, 1 kilometer per 10 kilometers, or 1 minute per 10 kilometers. And, you know, we're within that kind of rule. And eventually, Sudal Quickstep do commit to the front. Jacob Alula commit to the front. Intermarché commit to the front for Maddy Smickels, I presume. And a multitude of other teams kind of all got involved at one point or another. But the kilometers are taking down, 5k to go, they've still got at least 30 seconds gap, and then it's just Lidl Trek who are left on the front, and it looks like the breakaway is going to make it. At this point, Pietrobon of Polti Cometa is like just forcing other people through. He's sitting on the back, very smart move, because he clearly felt that that was going to be his best shot of victory. And with about a kilometer to go, maybe within the last kilometer, Pietrobon launches it from fourth wheel at the back, forces Enzo Pellini to chase, but Pellini can't close him down, and it looks for all money that Pietrobon is going to be getting this, but it's still about 300 meters to go. You see Michael Valgren launching it from behind, you see Benjamin Thomas. The peloton isn't even in sight at this point. It's Thomas, it's Valgren, they're neck and neck, but we just see that it is the Frenchman of Benjamin Thomas who just about edges it ahead of Michael Valgren, which means that Cofidis get their first victory of the year. So, like, launch the confetti into the air. Benjamin Thomas even does, like, a lip-zip kind of celebration, I guess, to kind of silence all the haters. So the top 10 of today's stage is that Benjamin Thomas wins ahead of Michael Valgren, Andrea Pietrobon of Polti Cometa gets third, Enzo Pellini, and then from the peloton, it's Milan in fourth, then Caleb Ewan, Phil Bauhaus, Tim Bellier, Olav Koy, and Maddy Smickels rounding out the top 10. The only DNF today was Adrien Petit of Intermarché as well. Wow. I mean, there was a lot of kind of like chicken going on in that whole thing, Scott. I mean, did you think the breakaway was going to make it? I do.
I don't know. I think we all kind of secretly root for the breakaway because they are the inherent underdogs in Grand Tour racing. And, well, when you look at the firepower they had, I didn't think they were going to be able to do anything, really. But I think we all saw the incredible watts that Jonathan Milan did. It was like a crazy 20-second power, 1,620 watts, I think. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to drag him to the finishing line if I were the other teams. No, I didn't think it was going to be a breakaway win, to be honest. So we're well done the breakaway. And yeah, I think Benjamin Thomas was probably silencing us too as well. We haven't been the most favorable in Cofidis. Sorry.
Yeah, I do explicitly say that this is like, what has this team even doing here, basically? So you know what? I've been proven wrong. Cofidis, you know, it was a well-deserved victory. And it was an opportunistic move as well, wasn't it? It wasn't it was from a breakaway, but it wasn't from like a traditional breakaway sense, if you see what I mean. It wasn't like some 20-ish riders get up the road and they win from that. It was an opportunistic move after a hard pace on that Cat 3. And yeah, I mean, fair play to those four for seizing that opportunity. And I don't know, it makes me wonder whether more sprints might go like this if people just start kind of calling Lidl Trek's bluff a little bit, or whether they think, okay, well, we called the bluff this time and it didn't work, so maybe we do need to contribute.
I mean, well, let's just stay with Benjamin Thomas. I mean, has a great track pedigree as well. This has got to be his biggest victory to date, you would think.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, absolutely is. Yeah, I remember him almost winning a stage of the tour maybe a couple of years ago, I think it was. Or it might have been that Cav year where he was off the front and he was like almost made it to the finish. But yeah, he's like, it's surprising that he hasn't almost won other Grand Tour stages because he's such a opportunistic rider in that sense. He's always kind of seems to be in the right moves at the right time, and like he's a very all-round rider. He can climb well, time trial well. He's got a decent sprint on him at the end of like a small group too. So yeah, it's great for Benjamin Thomas. I mean, yeah, this year probably hasn't been the most successful year for him. So I think that a first place here is going to be, you know, it's great for him. It's great for Cofidis as well.
I mean, we might as well, the breakaway winning, that means that the sprinter teams have failed. So, Patrick, what went wrong on this occasion for the sprinters teams? We spoke a bit about Lidl Trek. Everyone's looking to Lidl Trek and just calling chicken. You were singing their praises yesterday, rightfully. So, did they just run out of firepower? Did they leave it too late?
I think it's both, really. I think Lidl Trek, I don't think they could have done that much better because they literally just ran out of men. It's not like they weren't committing. They were trying to, and everybody was trying to keep those that kind of free lead out men ahead of their sprinter because they all thought, well, if I can get another team to do the work for me, then I can have my free lead out men and I can get a nice kind of, you know, perfect ride into the finish and I'll easily win. That's what everybody was trying to do to Lidl Trek, but they were obviously very aware of this and they then were like, well, we're not going to, you know, just burn up Stuyven and Consonni and, you know, all those people to bring this back. So I think I don't think Lidl Trek could have done much more. Maybe they should have given the breakaway a little bit more respect, but it was given like a minute into the bottom of that climb with 20Ks to go, which is a pretty normal gap, but I think it was more that it's a descent, well, it's like a net descent all the way to the line from there. And it was always going to be quite hard because like everybody's going at 60 whatever kilometers an hour. It's quite hard to go faster than that. So I think maybe they should have tried to reduce the gap before the climb rather than trying to bring them back on the descent where kind of the speeds are equalized out a little bit. And also it was just a fault of other teams for not committing sooner, to be honest with you. I think they'll be, you know, they took a chance, they tried to roll over Lidl Trek and use them, but at the end of the day, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, another opportunity gone for the sprinters, unfortunately. I mean, throughout the day as well, we've seen this quite a lot. Obviously, we always see this in Grand Tours, but and we always say the same thing every year. Oh, it feels like there's more crashes than ever. But yeah, today there was a lot of crashes, and Ineos are going to be worried. Voss coming down, and obviously he's one of the key mountain riders for Geraint Thomas. Equally, Christophe Laporte coming down, the European champion, like you said. That was a bit worrying. This Melissa bike have like the worst luck this year compared to last year where it seemed like they could do nothing wrong. And yeah, for those teams with crashed, riders who crashed, are you a bit worried on that front?
A little bit. Like, especially somebody like, I mean, like Valter went down as well. And he's going to be really important for Uiterbrooks. Yeah, Viz Melissa bike have just caught some really torrid luck. And yeah, Foss, I mean, he got up fairly quickly, so I think everyone's going to be okay. But I was a little bit concerned about Laporte because it did take him, like, he looked pretty bashed up and it took him a long time to get in to the peloton after his crash. And I don't think he really took part in the sprint at the end. So we'll wait and see how he goes. But so far, he seems okay. So hopefully, when we come back tomorrow, he won't be, you know, he won't be out the race. Hopefully, he stays in.
I mean, the gravel stage is tomorrow, and gravel. There is gravel. There's like 12 kilometers or something like that. And do you think we're going to get a real shakeup potentially in the GC, or we're just going to see Tadej Pogačar attacking with 81 kilometers to the finish?
Oh, gosh, who knows? I'd remember seeing like a little, I don't know, I couldn't tell if it was a joke or not, but Tadej said on like the team presentation that they were going to attack stage 6, and I'm not sure if that was a joke or not. For me, I mean, I think it should be a breakaway day, but you know what, I don't know. I think there's maybe some GC riders who might sense an opportunity tomorrow to gain back some time, but it's a little bit risky, like you say, on gravel, and somehow everybody seems to puncture on gravel. I don't know what their tyres are made of, like Swiss cheese or something like that, but everybody seems to puncture all these gravel sectors. So it might be a little bit of a risk for UE to go drilling it for Pogačar to end up getting a puncture or something. So I think it's probably the most unpredictable stage of the whole race is going to be tomorrow's it's gravel stage. So we'll wait and see how it turns out, but I think it's going to be an important one to tune in for. I think it will be entertaining for sure. Not that any of these other stages haven't been. They've been a really good set of stages so far.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what's going to happen tomorrow. But yeah, that's basically it for us on this breakaway day. Yay! make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel here on the Cycling Dane Extra. And if you want to listen to us, why not check out the Spotify version as well? And check out Patrick's own channel, Audi Cycling, as well. Are you going to give an update on the Velo Games?
I will do on the rest day.
Okay. And I will probably stream tomorrow, so if you want to check that out as well. But we will be back tomorrow. And as always, thank you for watching, and we will see you tomorrow.